Blog Talk Radio. Hello, and God bless each and every one of you. Welcome to Let's Talk. Well, this is Cecilia, and I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for Minister Sheila and all of her faithfulness with us on Let's Talk on every Sunday morning. I thank God for Minister Sheila and Minister Sylvia on their faithfulness with God and Smile 3E for Iron Sharpening Iron on every Monday night. I thank God for Elder Kathy Kendall's faithfulness on every Friday night with Let's Talk or God Still Heals, I mean, whatever the Lord gives her to talk about. And so I'm going to check in with Minister Sheila first to see what she has for us, if she wants to pray, if she wants to start us off, or whatever the Lord has given her for today. Minister Sheila.
Good morning. And I just want to say thank you, God, for another day of life, another day of love, and another day to praise and to thank and to worship your name. I just want to say thank you, because for yet again, if it was not for his love, his grace, and his mercy, I, among so many others, would not be here right now. A lot of us need to understand. And when you open your eyes in the morning, when you get up in the middle of the night, the first thing you should say is, thank you, God, I thank you. If you forget, apologize, say, oh, God, forgive me for thinking and thanking you first. I do it every morning because I know without him I would not be here. Without him, I would not have life. Without him, I would be nothing. God, I give honor to you, only to you and to your Son, Christ Lord Jesus, for having mercy, for having love and forgiveness for me and many, many, many more of the listeners and however they can listen or hear the program, the ones that's even not listening. Lord, I ask you for blessing this world. I ask you to open up their minds, their heart, their eyes, just their life. Send them with the angel of knowledge, because so many don't know you. Some know you, but they refuse to hold you, worship you, and to praise and to thank you. Seem to understand it's me. I'm doing this. If it wasn't for me, but they just don't know. Me ain't nothing without you. God, we need to have the knowledge and the wisdom. We need the teachers sent to us, so many, and to myself to teach me more and to understand, because yet even I don't know enough. I don't thank you enough. You can never learn and understand much when it comes to you, God, our Father, and to your Son, Lord Jesus, because so many things of knowledge and understanding we can get from others, from the Bible. We can even learn from ourselves. Because when we can think about, Lord, how did I get through this? I seen it coming. How did it miss me? Oh, God, I thank you. People just don't understand. So much danger, harm, and hatred. People pass us by daily, and you just don't know. God had that angel weapon performed before you, and the demon had to go on past, had to back up, had to run away, because the spirit and the knowledge and the presence of the God, he can't handle, because you know it's no wind. But Lord, I thank you, and I want to bless my family. my sisters, my brothers, my sons, my daughters, my grandkids, my blood family, my spiritual family. Lord, I thank you, and I want you to bless Sandra Thomas, Lord, keep her up on her feet, strengthen us, Lord, remove all the harm, the hurt and pain from us, Lord, bless us and to keep her all into the wisdom, the wonderful woman, the knowledgeable of your wisdom and your words and your life. I thank you for Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, who is knowledgeable and was able to come through you to give us this program that we can worship and talk and to praise and to honor your name. I thank you for Pastor Troy Thomas, another man of knowledge and wisdom that has the thought and the words and the knowledge to teach us. I thank you for Prophet Antoine Thomas, another young man of God, of you, God, that have brought and have taught us and to make us worship and understand you even more. Thank you for Minister Brandon Kaiser, another young man that is in the knowledge and the teaching and the know-how of you, oh God, our Father. I thank you for Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, a young woman that is bloodline of a sister and has soul still, spiritual, that comes through us on Monday night with iron sharpened iron, with speakers of knowledge and words from herself that can encourage and bless us all. Thank you for Dr. Serena Wright, another woman that has the spirit and the knowledge and the thought and the conversation of you, Father, that can always let us understand and teach each other. Thank you for Elder Kendall, Kathy Kendall, excuse me for mispronouncing, another woman of God who can teach us and help us to understand life. Lord, I just thank you for everyone. I thank you, and I ask you, could you help us in our prayers and help us to how to pray to you even more and to even better, even more knowledge and encouragement. Lord, bless this world, these young men, these young women, the elderly, just bless all the people. I can't count them out young, because the young as well as the old, we all need help. We all need knowledge. We all need someone to help and teach us more of you. And I ask you to bless this government that they might wise up and to understand removing you from these schools, from these hearts, from these homes, from wherever they choose to, is bringing more harm and danger among the lives of your people. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. I cannot thank you enough, Lord, but I pray that daily I have more knowledge, more wisdom, more teaching, and more understanding. And I want to never, never stop. I can never, never stop loving you, and I need to learn and to be taught how to love you even more. I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Amen. Back into your hand, Apostle-elect Cecilia, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I'm going to say, share a few scriptures, and I'm also going to just start off with a little prayer. Some, I need thee, oh Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. Oh, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I just need to sing that one more time. I need thee. Oh, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, O Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, Lord, I'm singing from my heart, Lord. Yes, 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 oh, yes, yes, Lord. I mean it, Lord. Yes, yes to your will, Lord. Yes, yes to your way, Lord. Yes, 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 Lord. I'm thanking you in the morning, yes, Lord. I'm thanking you in the evening, yes, Lord. I'm thanking you daily and saying, yes, Lord, because it's got to be yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Because it's me, it's me, it's me, oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. See, a lot of times, as Minister Sheila was saying, we forget to tell the Lord how much we need him. We forget to tell God how thankful we are. And we forget to say yes to his will. See, this flesh of ours will make us think that we're right, that we know everything, when only God is all we know. This flesh of ours will cause us to say yes to the pride of life. This flesh of ours will cause us to say yes to the lust of the flesh. This flesh of ours will call us to say yes to the pride of life instead of yes to God. But the truth of the matter is many of us are saying yes to the flesh and yes to the cares of this world, because somebody failed to tell us the truth. And why did someone fail to tell us the truth? I'm going to talk about, share a few scriptures with you. We're going to talk about some of the people that were in high places that failed to tell God yes, and somebody failed to tell them the truth because of witchcraft, rebellion, satanic reasons, or them allowing their false idols or their self-enlightenment or their fear to overrule the truth. First Chronicles 10 and 13 says, "And Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance. That's right. Some of us are consulting witches and warlocks and people that's going to tell us a lie. Yeah, even some parents don't tell your children the truth. Even some husbands and wives don't tell your spouses the truth. Even some parents didn't tell them the truth. Even some people, instead of going to the people that will tell them the truth, they'll go to the people that all agree with whatever they want to say. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "The rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." 1 Samuel 22:23. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who wants to kill you is trying to kill me too. You will be safe with me. 2 Chronicles 33:6. He sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced divination and witchcraft, sought omens, and consulted mediums and spiritualists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. Leviticus 19:31. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them, and I am your Lord, your God. 20:16. I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spirits to prostitute themselves by following them, and I will cut them off from the people. Revelation 18:23 says, "And the light of the lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's important people. By your magic spells, all nations were led astray." Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice witch arts, the idolaters, all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And this is the second death. Galatians 5:19-21. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Acts 19:17-20. And when this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, that they were seized with fear, and the name of the Lord was held in high honor, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed that they had done. A number had practiced sorcery, brought their scrolls together, and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scroll, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. See, some of us aren't telling people the truth. People are going to their drug dealers to get drugs instead of going to the one and only true and living God, will give you a high, a euphoria that will never, ever, ever leave you. See, when you get high and all of that stuff, it costs you money. But see, Jesus already paid the price for an eternal praise and an eternal joy. See, joy is something that no drug, no alcohol, no person can take away from you. That little high that you have that makes you feel good for a moment, it's nothing compared to the joy of the Lord. It's nothing compared to the peace brings that surpasses all understanding, and the joy that's just unspeakable. You can't even describe it. So in order for us to learn how to tell people the truth, we ourselves have to learn how to be truthful. And so sometimes we won't tell people the truth because of witchcraft, debauchery, maybe some sin in our life that makes us think that we can't tell people the truth. But no, you're to repent, go to God, get it right, and not only accept the truth about you, but accept that telling the people the truth is your reasonable service. Because if you love them, you're going to tell them the truth. You're going to tell them the truth in love. And when you tell people the truth in love, it doesn't mean that they're going to accept it. It doesn't mean that they're going to like it, but it does mean that you told them the truth. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Guide them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." Proverbs 21:3 says, "To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than a sacrifice." 1 John 1:6 says, "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out truth." Romans 13:7, "Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe them taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." You know, people who pay their taxes and give revenues better than they'll give out respect and honor. Why is it that it's easier to do right by Uncle Sam than it is by your brothers and sisters? Now, that's not written in the Word, but that's what I see when I see that if you are supposed to give respect, if you're supposed to give honor, you give it. But you sometimes give it to some and not to others. And sometimes it's based off of insecurity. Sometimes it's based off of jealousy. You know, some of those scriptures we talked about earlier that were covered under witchcraft and rebellion. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends." Let's read that one more time. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends." Psalms 37:7 says, "But be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out wicked schemes." Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who is correctly handling the word of God." Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is your power to act." That is beautiful right there. Luke 8:16, all of it is good. All of the word of God is good. So when I said it was beautiful right there, it's because it just was something that was good for me that I needed to read and hear and digest at that time. So Luke 8:16 says, "No one lights a lamp and hide it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light." See, the truth of God is the light. Romans 13:6. "This is also why you pay taxes, where the authorities are God's servants. You give their full time to governing." Proverbs 4:25, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you." It's talking about righteousness. And I got a few more scriptures I want to share. John 14:6, Jesus says to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." See how important the truth is? There's freedom in the truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And as we walk into our identity with him and we learn to have a submitted spirit, total being, everything about us being submitted to God, we're able to know the truth so that the truth can set us free. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. John 16:13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall speak, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Psalms 145:18, and the Lord is nigh unto all of them that call upon him. Truth. 1 Corinthians 13:4-6 talks about charity, suffers long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaulted not itself and is not puffed up. Many people are manipulative. They're puffed up. They're not vain because they're really insecure. And so when we're dealing with people who are vain and walking in insecurity, why aren't we telling them? When we're dealing with people that are doing people wrong, why aren't we telling them? When we're dealing with people that's walking in jealousy and animosity and covetousness and enviousness and hatred, why aren't we telling them? When we're dealing with people that are doing people wrong because they're racist, because they're sexist, because they're dealing with ageism, because they don't know how to submit, because they don't know how to be respectful, because they don't know how to be honorable, because they're always saying they want to be respected, but they don't know how to give it. I see so many younger elders. The Bible tells you to respect your elders. That's not just something that is said to do. The Bible tells children to respect their parents. The Bible tells the husband to love his wife like Christ loved the church. The Bible tells the wife to be submitted to her own husband. The Bible tells us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We're talking about what the Bible says, not just what Cecilia is saying, not just what Sheila is saying, but what the Bible says. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, not just on Sunday, not just on Monday, not just on Saturday, not just when you're at church, you're hugging on each other, you're loving on each other, but the word of God says, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Yes, it may be family. Yes, it may be friends that are putting their mouths on you the worst, but guess what? You still got to love them, and you still got to tell them the truth. That's not God. That's what you tell them when they say something that's gossiping, when they say something that's backbiting, when they say something that's not encouraging someone or praying for someone. I have a question. How does you gossiping about someone, how does you backbiting someone, how is you talking all manner of lies about someone, or even if what you're saying you think it's the truth, how is what you're saying building them up? How is what you're saying showing respect? How is what you're saying showing any honor? How does what you say encourage them? How does what you're saying about them bless them? How does what you're saying cause them to repent? How does what you're saying cause them to do right before the Lord? So if what you're saying doesn't cause that, then something our mother and many other people have said, if you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything at all. Now, someone will come back and say then you can't tell them the truth. No, the truth will set you free. But what are you doing? Are you using what you're saying to manipulate? Are you using what you're saying to discredit? Why are you saying what you're saying? Is it out of love? 1 John 3:18, my children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Is what you're saying for truth? I mean godly truth, not this manipulative truth that we try to use. I'm talking about 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Let's talk about that scripture. It says, those scriptures, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Is what you're saying for righteousness purposes, not self-righteousness, what we're talking about for God's purpose, is what you're saying profitable in God? Is what you're saying for reproofing in God? Is what you're saying for correction in God? Some people are trying to be God. Many of us, like for instance, some people will take your name and they'll use it in vain. Some people will use you, and then when something happens that they didn't expect to happen because of their use of you or because of their abusing you, then they get upset. Well, I've had some people do some stuff to me, and then when they had to suffer some consequences of doing what they did, they all of a sudden were crying, oh, faulty, faulty, wrong, wrong. And I had to learn to go to God and ask God not only to forgive me for being upset with them for using my name and for not doing right by me, but I had to go to God and ask him to help me to forgive them for their gossiping and backbiting and nosiness towards me. But somebody would like for me to tell you a lie and say that that stuff didn't bother me. Oh, when it happened, you know, I just came out of it and said this or that. No, we have to be honest and be able to tell people the truth. If something is done and it hurts you, go to God about it. You can go to everybody else and y'all can compare notes of what you think or what was done, but how did that bring correction in God's way? How did that bring reproof in God's way? How was that truth in God's way? Because, so I'm here to tell you, we have to realize that we hurt God daily for self-righteous reasons, for manipulative reasons, for selfish reasons, for prideful reasons, but yet, I don't believe God is up in heaven or talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the multitude of elders and saints that's bowed down before him talking about what you didn't do or what you did do. And I don't believe that. I believe Jesus is making intercession for us and they're praying for us and that God is looking to put people in our lives that will encourage us. Because, see, sometimes people will talk to you, and it's not for the inspiration of God, it's not for the reproofing according to God, it's not for the correction according to God, it's not for the instruction of righteousness according to God, it's not for the perfecting of the saints, it's not for the perfecting of the good works that God is trying to do for you, but it's for self-righteous purposes. It's for them not knowing that sometimes things will happen because not only is God teaching you a lesson, but God is teaching them a lesson. But because they're so self-righteous, they don't know how to pray. You know what? That's some things that, you know, lawyers and different specialists will tell you to do that may not sound like it should be done, but it's something that's lawful that needs to be done. How many of you know that sometimes God will allow things to happen not because it's something necessarily that you've done wrong, but sometimes God has to allow a situation to not only teach you something, but how to teach others something. God will take your love to a whole nother level if you let him. Why? Because he'll allow something to happen to show you how the people around you may be quick to gossip, they may be quick to backbite, they may be quick to take your name and drag it through the mud, and God will tell you to still love the, as they say, the H-E-double-L out of them. God will tell you to still love them. God will tell you to still speak well of them. God will tell you to still respect them. God will tell you to still honor them, because either they're your elders, or he will tell you to do it just because when you show them love, it shows them the God in you, the Christ in you. Sometimes we have to be willing not to say something just to keep the peace. Sometimes we have to be willing not to do something just to keep the peace. See, some people expect us to do things one way or another way, but we have to wait on the guidance of God. Just like when you go into a courtroom and you have to wait on the guidance of your lawyer, and you have to wait on the guidance of the security and the people that are in the courtroom, and just like you have to wait on the verdict from the judge, there's a proper posture and behavior that is required in the courtroom. Well, in your day-to-day life, there's a proper posture and requirement in your life. While you're waiting on God to tell you to do something, doesn't mean that somebody else not going to tell you to do it another way. See, God gives you this gift of the Holy Spirit that's like that lawyer that's telling you what to do and what not to do according to the word of God. And you have to be willing to stand firm on that guidance. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge the Lord. You're going to have many people saying you should do it this way, you should do it that way. But if God didn't tell you to do it that way, I don't care how much you think they know. I don't care how much they think they know. If it does not align with what God is saying to do, don't do it. Some of us are so worried about our reputation and what people think about us and what people say about us until we're not willing to allow people that gossip and backbite and speak ill of people to do what they do while God teaches them they don't know about love. See, the truth of the matter is, if people really love you, they'll pray for you. If people really love you, they'll encourage you. When people really love you, they will not sit in a room and allow people to put their mouths on you. When people really love you, they'll tell a person the truth and say, that's not God. When people really love you, they'll say, let's shut up and pray. Ah, hallelujah. When people really love you, and when you really love people, you'll tell people the truth. That's not God, sis. Why are you saying that? That's not God, brother. Why are you saying that? Why aren't we praying? The word of God says this. The word of God says that. But you know what? Whether it's family, whether it's friends, or whether it's saints, I didn't say saints, whoever it is, the truth of God wasn't done. The truth about the consequences of people not doing right by someone. The truth about people having to learn how to love unconditionally. Well, I'm here to tell you, God is teaching me about truth. God is teaching me about love. And he is showing up teaching me about me. I need more of him and less of me. And I am here to tell you that situations and circumstances are teaching me, oh my God, about truth and about love. Whether it's friends, families, or ain'ts, and like I said, I didn't say saints, God is going to perfect us. That marred place, he's the potter, and he's going to make it again. When God finds that place, as we do a self-examination of our own heart and we come before God saying, I need you, Lord. When we come before God saying, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. But many of us come before God looking out the window, telling him about what other folks ain't doing. But if we would spend more time getting the boulder, not the speck, out of our own eye, we would have less time to have family meetings, to have girly meetings, to have brotherly meetings, to have little idle conversations that are not reproofing and correcting and exhorting or encouraging others based off of the word of God. And that's what we need to do. We're not having enough of those meetings. Come on, family. When the last time we had a family meeting? I'm talking about the family like the body of Christ. When was the last time we had a meeting just to pray for others? Just to talk about the goodness of God and what others need by these meetings. Come on, family. Let's get it together. Let's tell the people the truth and love according to the word of God, not for manipulative reasons, not because we're being witches and warlocks. Yes, because some of us have to admit we need work, because what we're doing is not for God, not for the honesty of God, not for the respect of God, not for the honor of God, but for our own selfish reasons, because we don't understand why God allowed what he allowed to happen. We don't. And I'm asking God daily to examine my heart, and as I examine my heart, and I bring those things before him, and I allow him to perfect me and fix that marred place he sees, as he's the potter and I'm the clay, that I would learn how to say the things that I say about people, correcting according to God, for the reproof according to God, for the encouraging according to God, for the respect according to God, for the honor according to God's instruction, and the example that Jesus gave us. That's all I have, Minister Sheila.
Well, that was beautiful, old sister. Apostle Electra Sheila, that was so awesome. I'm just saying thank you. I have to apologize again. I'm on my way to work. So if you have to forgive the background noise, because my windows are down and I'm trying to get to work. But I thank the Lord again for your word, for the scriptures, something that I really need, and I pray to get into more and to learn more and to understand more and to even be able to speak on some. But Lord, I thank you for Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, because she's an awesome woman. She's an awesome sister. She's an awesome speaker of knowledge when it comes to you. Oh, God, I thank you. I just want to say again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like you said, I cannot thank the man. I call him the man, the main man. I cannot thank him enough. Because through all that we have been through, I know some of you know, how did I get through this? How did I make it? Lord, I thank you. It's not the doctors. The doctors will tell you, oh, it's nothing I can do. It's nothing this, or we're going to have to do this, or we're going to have to do this. And then you get on your knees and you pray and you let the Father of God know, and he'll let you know, I can cure all things. Go back to their doctor. They don't know what they said. It's not there. God can remove. He can heal. He can touch your heart better than anything it is. As Apostle said, he can give you the biggest high that it is. You won't never feel that good on whatever you can buy off the street. God have a highness and a healness. And, oh, my goodness, he's going to love you so bad, so good, so bad. It's like, That's the best drink, the best drunk, the best drug, the best life you could ever have. But we just have to look for it, ask for it. And he will treasure you with more than you could ever realize. So I just want to thank you. I want to thank you. And I want to thank you. So I'm just thanking you, Apostle. I'm thanking you, God, Lord Jesus. I'm thanking you. And I just say, I can't thank you enough. I'm going to turn it back over into your hands because I'm going to go through a kind of noisy, crowded part right now. And I don't want the noise to interrupt this great session and knowledge of teaching of God. Thank you.
Amen. So we're going to end with this. I need thee, oh Lord, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee, I need thee, oh Lord, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. You don't come to your neighbor. You don't come to your friends. You don't come to all of these people, but I come to thee. Talking about God. Who are you taking your troubles to? Because I come to thee. You're not gossiping here. You're not gossiping there. You're not doing all manner of evil with your mouth, with your hands, with the writing, with the communications, the verbals and the nonverbals. But you're, I come to thee. You're kneeling down before me. You're laying prostrate before me. You're saying, I come to thee. God, obliterate and annihilate every gossip. God, obliterate and annihilate and destroy every heart that wants to speak evil and speak deception and beguile this person and beguile that person and try to discredit this person and that. But God, we come to you, God. We come to you, God. We bring our cares and we lay them on the altar. We come to you, God. If we have an ought against our brothers or our sister, or even if they have one against us, I come to thee. If you haven't heard anything else on today, take your cares to the Lord. Learn how to respect and honor one another. But most of all, learn how to come to God with all of your cares, all of your struggles. Lay them at the altar. Allow God to heal you everywhere you hurt. And know that you and I need God. See you on tomorrow for Iron Sharpening Iron. Don't forget our scripture, which is our foundational scripture, St. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. 8 p.m., don't forget, Central Standard Time, Iron Sharpening Iron, tomorrow with Minister Sylvia and Minister Sheila. Bye-bye.